Bekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akacha AI. Welcome back. Today, we're diving into a topic, a tradition, really, that often gets simplified, maybe too much so, Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
We're using Norman Solomon's Judaism, A Very Short Introduction, as our guide.
And our mission today is, well, to push past those simple definitions. Solomon really wants us to see Judaism not as some static ancient religion,
mm-hmm.
you know, just a list of rules, but as something much bigger.
Bigger how?
As a dynamic, evolving, multifaceted civilization. Think of it like a whole organism with, what, 4,000 years of history, thought, community?
Right. And why is that view important for, you know, for you listening?
Well, because if you want to quickly get a handle on one of the world's really influential traditions, you have to grasp its complexity.
Otherwise, you're missing the picture. This approach, it offers those aha moments about identity, how ideas are debated, how it all continues.
Exactly. If you've ever wondered what holds such a diverse global people together, the answer starts here in seeing it as this broad civilization.
Okay, so who's guiding us? You mentioned the author, Rabbi Dr. Norman Solomon.
Yes, and he's exceptionally well-suited for this.
What makes him stand out? Because, you know, with a topic like this, you might worry about getting just one narrow viewpoint, maybe too academic or too religious.
Right. Solomon navigates that perfectly because he has this dual expertise. On one hand, he's a practicing Orthodox rabbi, so he understands the tradition from the inside with real respect.
Okay, the lived experience.
But he combines that with serious academic credentials. He was a fellow at the Oxford Center for Hebrew and Jewish Studies, lectured theology at Oxford.
Ah, so he brings both perspectives, the insider's reverence and the scholar's critical eye.
Precisely. He writes from within, but also about it with objective clarity. That balance is key. It means he can give a fair overview of all the different streams, Orthodox, conservative, reform, without, you know, pushing one particular agenda.
That makes sense. He can bridge the ancient texts and modern scholarship. Sounds like the ideal person to tackle this.
He really is. He makes very complex ideas accessible without dumbing them down. Great for anyone curious, but maybe a bit intimidated.
So let's get into the book's core argument then. What's the main takeaway Solomon wants us to have?
The big idea.
Yeah.
Resist seeing Judaism as monolithic. It's not defined by just one fixed set of beliefs like some other religions might be.
Okay, so it's not just a belief system.
No. He argues it's much broader a civilization, mm-hmm. and that civilization weaves together several strands. Religion, yes, but also culture. This strong sense of peoplehood, a shared history, and a unique ongoing intellectual tradition.
So it's less like a finished statue and more like a river, always flowing, always arguing, always interpreting.
That's a great way to put it. Solomon basically says the essence of Judaism is that ongoing story, that constant effort to make life, time, and community sacred through interpretation and reinterpretation.
That framework feels sophisticated. It moves us way beyond just talking about holidays and rituals, though those are part of it.
Definitely. The book presents Judaism as this living thing that's constantly adapted to huge historical shifts. You know, the destruction of the temple, encountering Islam, the Enlightenment, the Holocaust, the founding of Israel.
It survives by rethinking itself.
Yes. It's constantly reinterpreting its core texts and traditions in light of new realities.
Okay, so to understand the civilization, where do we start? Identity seems like a fundamental place.
Absolutely, and Solomon dives right into the complexity. He asks that core question, who is a Jew?
And I'm guessing the answer isn't simple.
Not at all. Traditionally, the halakha, or Jewish law, says you're Jewish if your mother was Jewish or if you convert properly.
Matrilineal descent.
Right.
Yeah.
But Solomon immediately adds nuance. He points out that in the Bible, descent was often traced through the father. So even that starting point has evolved.
History complicates things.
Always. And then you add the modern world. Solomon says you really need three overlapping circles to think about Jewish identity today.
Okay, what are they?
There's the religious aspect, observance, belief. Then there's the sense of peoplehood, Am Yisrael, this feeling of shared destiny, even if you're not religious.
Oh, like a nation or a tribe.
Sort of, yeah, a sense of collective identity. And the third circle is culture, language, literature, humor, food, music, all that shared heritage.
And these overlap but don't always perfectly align. I can see how that creates tension.
Huge tension, especially with secularism. Many people identify culturally or ethnically, but not religiously.
And the law of return in Israel must bring all this to a head politically.
Exactly. It grants citizenship based on Jewish connection, forcing a definition that has massive real-world consequences. It shows how layered this identity truly is.
All right, so identity's complex. What about the historical journey? Solomon points to a major turning point, right? After Sinai.
Yes, the massive pivot point. The destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans in 70 CE.
Which wasn't just losing a building.
Oh, it was an existential crisis. Judaism up to that point was fundamentally a religion of place. Everything revolved around the temple in Jerusalem, the sacrifices, the priesthood.
So what happens when the center is just gone?
That's where the genius of the early rabbis comes in. They engineered this incredible reinvention.
Oh.
They shifted Judaism from being tied to a physical location to being portable. It became a religion centered on text and time.
Text and time, meaning?
Meaning the focus moved to prayer, studying the Torah, applying Jewish law, halakha, to everyday life, and observing sacred time, like Shabbat. This is the birth of Rabbinic Judaism.
And this new focus gets written down.
Yes, first in the Mishnah around 200 CE, which codifies the oral law, and later expanded massively in the Talmud. This whole shift is what allowed Judaism to survive and thrive in diaspora, scattered across the world.
That focus on text leads us straight into the intellectual heart of it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Judaism is deeply text-based. But Solomon stresses the text isn't the end point. It's the starting point for endless interpretation.
This is where the oral Torah comes in.
Exactly. You have the written Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. But just as important is the oral Torah, this vast unwritten tradition of interpretation, legal discussion, stories, ethics, passed down through generations.
The idea being the written text needs the oral tradition to be understood and applied.
Precisely. And the ultimate expression of this interpretive energy is the Talmud.
Which isn't just a rule book, right? People often think of it that way.
No, definitely not a simple rule book. Solomon describes it as this huge, sprawling record of debates. It contains law, yes, but also philosophy, legends, ethical arguments. Arguments between rabbis across centuries.
And the way it's even printed is significant.
Hugely significant. A typical Talmud page has the core text, maybe a Mishnah passage in the center. Then surrounding it are layers and layers of later commentaries and debates from different eras and places.
So the page itself looks like a conversation.
It is a conversation, frozen in time, but still alive. It visually shows that Judaism sees itself as this ongoing dialogue across generations.
And you mentioned arguments. Solomon highlights something called malachit, disagreement.
Yes, and this is kind of radical. The Talmud doesn't just record agreements. It carefully preserves disagreements, malachit.
Huh.
Often, it presents two opposing views without declaring one definitively right.
Wait, so the argument itself has value. It's not just about finding the single correct answer.
That's the revolutionary idea. Engaging in the argument, respectfully debating the meaning of the tradition, is considered a holy activity. It implies that truth is complex, multifaceted.
There's this famous phrase, isn't there, that conflicting opinions can both be the words of the living God.
Exactly. It shows an incredible capacity to hold complexity, to value the process of wrestling with ideas. It suggests the tradition is strong enough to contain different viewpoints.
That commitment to dialogue must have been tested, though, especially in the modern era.
Oh, profoundly. Solomon identifies three major ruptures that reshaped everything.
Okay, what were they?
First, the Enlightenment, or Haskalah in Hebrew. This period offered Jews civil rights, integration into European society.
Sounds like a good thing.
It was, in many ways. But it also posed a massive challenge to traditional ways of life and belief. How do you stay distinct when you're part of the wider world? This pressure led directly to the split into the modern denominations we see today. Orthodox, Conservative, Reform. Each offered a different answer to modernity.
Okay, so Enlightenmentism are one. What's next?
The second and deeply painful rupture. The Holocaust, the Shoah.
Which went beyond physical destruction.
Far beyond. It created this immense theological crisis. How could this happen? Where was God? What did it mean for the idea of a covenant, of being a chosen people? These questions still echo intensely.
A trauma that forced fundamental questions. And the third rupture.
The rise of Zionism and the creation of the State of Israel. This was largely a secular political movement responding to centuries of anti-Semitism, aiming for self-determination in the ancestral homeland.
But bringing a diaspora civilization back to a specific contested land must have created new issues.
Absolutely. It solved some problems, but created a host of new political, religious, and ethical dilemmas about the relationship between the state, the land, and Jewish identity worldwide. These debates are obviously still very much alive.
So identity, history, interpretation, modernity. Solomon weaves these into some core themes, right? Things we can take away.
Yes, and they have relevance beyond just understanding Judaism.
Let's hear them. What's the first key theme?
I'd say Judaism as an evolving conversation. Its strength, its vitality comes from that tradition of argument, of malakut. The fact that it preserves disagreement shows that thinking critically, engaging with the tradition, is central. It's not static.
That feels very relevant today, this idea of productive disagreement.
It really is. And linked to that is the theme of the sanctification of time in the everyday.
Making the ordinary sacred.
Exactly. Rituals aren't just motions. They're about infusing daily life with meaning. Think of Shabbat, the Sabbath. Solomon describes it beautifully as creating a palace in time each week. It's not just not working. It's actively building a space of peace, reflection, and connection.
That's a powerful idea, especially in our frantic 24/7 world, building intentional pauses. A palace in time. I like that.
It offers a model for bringing rhythm and meaning into our own lives, regardless of background.
Okay, what else?
Then there's law as a living tradition. Halakha, Jewish law, isn't some rigid ancient code stuck in the past. Solomon shows it as the dynamic system.
How so?
It balances core principles with ongoing interpretation. This allows it to adapt and address completely new situations, everything from electricity on Shabbat to bioethics, while still maintaining continuity with the past. It's flexible within a framework.
So it evolves. And the final theme?
Ethical monotheism as the core vocation. This gets into the concept of chosenness.
Which can sound exclusionary.
Right. But Solomon reframes it. It's not about being inherently superior. It's presented more as a vocation, a responsibility. The idea of being a light unto the nations. Meaning a responsibility to uphold ethical standards. Pursue justice. The concept of tikkun olam, which means repairing the world. There's this constant interplay between focusing on the specific community and having a universal ethical message.
That's a really helpful clarification. These themes really bring the concept of civilization to life.
They do. And Solomon has a knack for boiling down these complex ideas into memorable lines.
Yeah, let's touch on a few of those paraphrased core ideas. They really crystallize the perspective. What's one that stands out?
How about this one? Judaism is not a religion of salvation, but of sanctification.
Meaning the main goal isn't getting into heaven?
Primarily, no. The focus is much more on this world, on performing ethical actions, observing rituals, doing things that make everyday life, society, the world itself, more sacred, more holy, right here and now.
That feels very grounded, practical.
It is. And related to the interpretive tradition we discussed, there's this idea, the Torah is not in heaven. It is given to human beings to interpret.
Ah, so authority rests partly with human understanding and debate.
Yes. It legitimizes human reason, ongoing dialogue, and finding new meanings within the tradition. It prevents the text from becoming frozen or irrelevant. It has to be wrestled with by each generation.
Keeps it alive. And the last one you mentioned.
This really sums up the emphasis on action. Judaism asks not, what must I believe, but how shall I live?
Orthopraxy over orthodoxy, correct action over correct belief.
Exactly. It explains why someone might not hold traditional beliefs but still feel deeply Jewish through cultural practice, community involvement, or ethical commitments. The doing is often central.
These quotes really underline the practical, communal, and ethical focus.
They definitely do.
So moving beyond understanding, how might these ideas apply to, you know, everyday life for someone listening? What are the real-world takeaways?
Well, first, there are powerful lessons in cultural resilience. Think about how Judaism survived the destruction of the temple, millennia of diaspora.
That shift from place to text and time.
Right. It's an amazing case study in how any group, a culture, an organization, even a family, can maintain its core identity while adapting, sometimes radically, to completely changed circumstances. It's about finding what's essential and carrying it forward in new ways.
Resilience through adaptation and core principles, that's universal.
Absolutely. And then there's the model for civil discourse, that Talmudic idea of valuing malakut, of preserving multiple viewpoints.
Holding respectful disagreement.
Exactly. In our very polarized world, where everyone seems to retreat into rigid ideologies, this offers a different model. It teaches us how to manage ambiguity, how to debate seriously without needing to crush the opposition. how to learn from different perspectives.
That feels incredibly relevant right now, learning to argue better, essentially.
Yes, or at least argue more productively, with the goal of deeper understanding, not just winning.
And you mentioned geopolitics earlier.
All right. A third application is simply improving interpretation of complex situations like the Middle East.
How so?
By understanding the deep, centuries-old connection, theological, historical, emotional, between the Jewish people, the idea of covenant, and the land of Israel, you can move beyond simplistic news headlines.
It gives you the necessary backstory.
It gives you the context to understand the layers of meaning, the historical weight, the identity issues involved. It doesn't necessarily tell you what to think, but it equips you to think about it more deeply, with more nuance.
Understanding the why behind the headlines. That makes sense.
Solomon's book really helps provide that deeper layer.
So as we wrap up, what was the most surprising or impactful thing for you from revisiting this?
For me, it was being reminded of the centrality of questions and argument. That the genius of Judaism isn't necessarily in having all the answers laid out, but in its relentless commitment to asking the big questions generation after generation.
The conversation itself is the core.
Yes. That ongoing process is the vitality.
Yeah.
It ensures it's never just an ancient relic, but something constantly being renewed through engagement. It's a process, not a static object.
That's a great point. For me, it was the profound appreciation for its complexity. You know, we often seek simple definitions, but Solomon shows how embracing the multifaceted nature of Judaism, religion, people, culture, history, argument is where the richness lies.
It resists easy labels.
Completely. And understanding that complexity in one tradition, I think, genuinely helps you appreciate the complexity in other traditions and maybe even in human experience more broadly. It fosters a kind of intellectual humility.
Well said. A deep dive into the particular can really enhance our understanding of the universal.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.